I want to minister another step of life without limits. How many people want to have that life? I want to have a life with no boundaries. By that I mean no spiritual encumbrances. Amen? And it's all by the Word of God. Today I want to deal with prepared for more. Prepared for more. In order to build a platform for this series, I think we have to go through several steps. If you're going to be prepared for more, then you need to start preparing for more. You need to start preparing for more. Say that to somebody. You need to prepare for more. See, there will be times on this journey of life where you will be uncomfortable. Times in this journey we call life that you will be uncomfortable. But watch this. God's preparation for you isn't about making you comfortable. Let me say it again. God's preparation for you isn't about making you comfortable. It's about making you capable. He's going to set you up so that you can handle any situation. That's the God we serve. In God, it's not about perfection. This is something that came to me early in the morning. It's not about perfection. It's about performance. What do you mean by that? God wants obedience and not sacrifice. In 1 Samuel 15:22, the Bible says, with Samuel the prophet speaking to Saul, the king of that day, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" He's saying it's not the sacrifice, it's obeying the voice of the Lord. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." It's not the sacrifice, it's the obedience. So I'll ask you, are you ready for more? Are you ready for more? "Well, I don't feel ready, Pastor. I don't feel ready." But hear this, you may not always feel ready, but by taking action, you're preparing yourself for more. No action, no more. It's just not going to happen. In Isaiah 64, verse 4, the Bible says, For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, inside beside thee, what you have prepared for him that waiteth in him. Waiteth for him. What do you mean wait for him? You serve him. You love him. You honor him. You respect him. Speaking to several different people today, speaking to Willie and before service, and it's the consensus is that most people do not care anymore about God, nor the church, nor anything involved with the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's a shame to me. We worry about things that are nonsensical. I don't know who does these studies, but I read a study where it said that 85% of the things you worry about will never happen. But we worry. It's like I went to a doctor one time, Commodore, I don't know if you remember him, that internal medicine doctor way back 30, 40 years ago, maybe before I met you. And I was worried about something. He said to me, he said, "You see all these books behind me?" I said, "Yes, sir." I mean, the wall was full. He said, "Those books are filled with things that can kill you." He said, "So what you worried about?" What's my message to you today? Stop worrying and get something done. He says that he has things prepared for them that wait on him, that serve him. There's things prepared for you. This verse that we just read speaks to the mystery and greatness of God's plan for all those that serve him. The mystery and the greatness of God's plan for all of us sitting here today that serve him. God has something more for you. Say that back to me. You say, "Oh, why?" Because our God is a God of more. not a God of less. He's a God of more. For who? For those that serve him, those that honor him. I want you to notice I didn't say for those that love him. Purposely, I didn't say that. I said that serve him, not that love him. Because here's the deal. It's easy to say you love something and never do anything about it. Well, that got quiet. There's people say they love a person, but they never do anything for them. Is that love? So it's about service. It's about what you do. It's action. So being prepared for more, it's an action. And expecting God to do more for you, it's about action. According to the Word of God, service or serving God or one another is a key. It is key in prepares you for greater things. It opens a portal, a window through which God can pour His blessings out to you. Pour it out into your life. It opens a portal. It opens a window. Service. Not just love, but service. The Bible says in Mark 10:45, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. This verse highlights the heart of Jesus. If you want to know the heart of Jesus, this verse highlights the heart of Jesus, his servanthood and his sacrifice for the salvation of others. He wanted to see people saved. He wanted to see them set free. He wanted them to be delivered from the bondage of darkness. If you're prepared for more, then you're going to have to be more. It's like my daddy used to say, if you want God to bless you with your car, how about building a garage first? It's about preparing for what you want. If you prepare for a big harvest, then why not build, if you're going to have a huge harvest, why not build a big barn or a big silo? Because you expect greatness. You expect it to be large. So I prepare for that. Say this back to me. I am prepared for more. I am created for more. And until you start believing that, it will not happen. You have to believe it to receive it. But remember, in all this, you must give God. I remember how I started this today. In order for this to work, you have to give God a platform to work on. Something to work with. A life fully surrendered and committed and ready. You have to give him that platform. He will not work in an atmosphere of complacency. If you think God will, you've missed God. He will not work in an atmosphere of complacency or a half-hearted devotion. How many people do you know that do things half-heartedly? Do you really want somebody to cook your meal half-heartedly? Do you want them to clean your house half-heartedly? Do you want them to pay you half-heartedly? No, you want it with their whole heart. You want them to give you what you deserve fully. When we serve him wholeheartedly, we create an environment. It's all about environment. We create an environment for him to perform the miraculous. You wonder why God doesn't show up? Because we don't show up. Your body may be here, but you're not showing up. It's not just about your body being here. It's about your spirit being ready. It's about you wanting to worship God, to praise God, to honor God. And you have to be ready. It's like I wasn't ready this morning because my notepad that I'm here, I didn't charge it. And if it's not charged, guess what I found out? It turns itself off. Continually turns itself off. That will not happen to me again. I will serve it wholeheartedly. You see what I'm saying? It's an illustration. Because I'm half-hearted with it, I'm having to go through the difficulties of it. But It creates an environment for him to perform the miraculous and take us into the fullness of the purpose he has for our life. It creates that platform. In Ephesians 3:20, it says this. Now unto him that is able. Now this is key. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And a lot of people stop right there. But there's a criteria that backs that up that gives this foundation. There's a criteria to now unto him that is able. He is able, but will he do it? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according, here it is, criteria, according to the power that worketh in us. What's in you? What are you thinking? What is your rationale? What do you believe in? Are you ready for more? Because look, I want more, but I don't know if I'm even doing with what I can do with what I have. How can we neglect so great a salvation, the Bible says? He's given us so much. So how in the world can we neglect what God has done for us? I'm ready for more. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's ability, watch this. God's ability to exceed our expectations is far beyond what we can comprehend. So whatever you expect, God can go beyond it. What do you expect? Jeremiah 29:11 says it clearly. For I know the plans I have for you. God has a plan, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Man, that's a powerful verse. I like that. Because this verse displays the will of God toward those that believe in him, that serve him. It shows you his will. If you want to know his will, there it is. It speaks to you today and to your future. We need to be reminded of this profound truth. We were created with infinite and limitless potential. We were. Talk about life without limits. We were created with an infinite and limitless potential. Then we were designed by God with purpose and power. You say, well, I don't feel powerful. Well, you need to, because you were designed for it, created for it. So often we forget who we truly are. My mother used to remind me, do you know who you are? Especially when I was doing something wrong. Do you know who you are? Remember back in the 60s, we was all trying to find ourselves? My mother came into my room, I'll never forget. I said, you know, it was all about finding myself. And she said, she took her shoe off and she said, I'm going to show you who you are. I found myself that day. Me and my tie-dye blue jeans. I found myself. We forget who we are, and we start settling for labels placed on us, not by us, sometimes they are, but by others, our family, our friends, our coworkers, allowing their words to shape our destiny. We've allowed their words to shape our destiny. In doing so, this is the problem. In doing so, we lose sight of what God has declared about us. What has God said about us? We trade his truth for the opinions of people. What did I tell y'all last week? I will never listen to people because they'll lead you astray. If Moses had listened to the people, they would have stayed in Egypt. They'd have made it to the Red Sea and gone back to Egypt. They still would have been slaves. See, God has a plan far beyond opinions. But we lose sight of what God has declared about us. We trade his truth, God's truth, for opinions of people, forgetting that our worth, our purpose, and identity are rooted in his promises, not their perceptions. Rooted in his promises, not their perceptions. I say it's time for us, everybody seated here today, to reclaim who we are in him. reclaim who we are in Him, and live in the fullness. Everybody say fullness. Live in the fullness of what He created us to be. He created us to be far greater than you could ever, ever imagine. So what are we? We are living, breathing vessels of the Creator. Living, breathing vessels of the Creator. Designed for life without limits. Created by the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God. He has infused us and transfused us with divine purpose. He's transfused us, infused us with life, making us vessels. We are vessels of God. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. We are carriers of His presence, and we're a reflection of His limitless power and glory. We are. We reflect His power, His glory. God wants you, say me, God wants you to live a life without limits because He is a God without limits. I don't know how long I'll bear down on this subject today, but I think it's important for us all to see that we've missed a lot of life because we've missed a lot of God. One day people will see how valuable it is to be able to come to a place and sit and worship God. Right now they may not see it, but there's coming a day. And you mark my words on this one. They're going to say, I wished, not obviously not y'all, you're here. They're going to say, I wish I had listened. Bishop Allen tried to tell us something, and we really just didn't listen. Or maybe we didn't care to listen. But I'm trying to tell you, the only way you can survive this life is through the power and might of Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can survive. Psalms 84, verse 11 says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. What does that mean? The Lord God is a sun and shield? The sun is a, here's why he said that. The sun is a life-giving force. It gives us warmth and it illuminates our life. That's God. Gives us warmth, illuminates our life, and a shield. He is our protector. That's why the psalmist said this. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. For the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in him blameless. What does that mean? Those that have done what he's asked them to do. What is his nature? Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son. We're talking about a life without limits now. We're talking about receiving more, prepared for more. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us some things? Thank you. You're listening. All things. So God is willing to give you all things. I'm prepared for it. I want that. God's willingness to give his son is proof that he will not withhold any good thing from his believers. Nothing. It's proof that he desires for us to walk in a life, an abundant life. That's proof. I want you to notice carefully what God says through Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I form thee, before I form thee are you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. He said, before anyone knew, God saying, before anyone knew, I knew. Do you understand what God is saying for you? Before anyone knew, he knows about you. He knows about what you can do and what your needs are. He understands your life. Before anyone knew, I knew. Before your father knew. Before your mother knew. Before anyone knew, your family, your friends. Before anyone knew, God knew who you were. and what you were capable of. God gave you a name and a destiny before you breathed your first breath of life. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. The Bible teaches us, if you read the Bible, it's that brown, that black leather thing you keep in the house. It's got dust on it. That he knows us so much, he's got the hairs of our hair head numbered. All the days of our lives are numbered. You know, I thought about life today. I was thinking about life as I got up around 5 this morning. I got up a little late. And so, usually it's around 4:30. But I realized life is like a microwave. If I want to cook a poached egg in our microwave, it takes 3 minutes and 40-something seconds to get it to where I want it to be. Now, at 3 minutes and 40 seconds, the buzzer goes off. And when that buzzer goes off, it says that those eggs are finished. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, that's the way life is. The timer is set. He said, and when that timer buzzes, he said, you have finished. Does that mean anything? It does to me. That means God's got his hand on the buttons. He's got his hand on the control. He's got his hand on the timer. I think about things like that. But why I'm not going to worry about it? Because 85% of things we worry about don't happen anyway. I mean, we worry about wrecks that may never happen. We worry about things that really... we have no reason to worry about it. Well, maybe worry about a few things. The Bible says, they say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. I say it differently. I'm going to be merry because I'm going to live. You see, you are more spirit than flesh. That's why you have to be prepared for more. Your flesh may not be there happening the way you want it to, but you've got more to you than just flesh, because flesh is temporal, but your spirit is eternal. Jeremiah, when these words came to him, before I knew you, Jeremiah heard the word of God. He was prepared now for more, and it fashioned his life. The word fashioned his life. What? The word of God fashioned his life. God's word forever changed Jeremiah. And God's word will forever change you. Amen. So I'm going to say this. Be mindful of the words you choose to listen to. Be careful of the words you choose to listen to. For they have a power to shape your life. Why is this important? Because the voices you allow into your heart can influence your beliefs and your decisions. Be careful about that. If you're not careful, you may begin to embrace the lies over the unchanging truth of God's word. You start believing you can't make it and you won't make it. You can't believe you can't get it done and you don't get it done. You believe that you're not made for more, so you're not going to get any more. You have to believe in yourself. So I'm going to believe God's word over anything else. So what do? I must guard my ears and my heart so that his voice remains the foundation of my faith and my identity. My faith and my identity comes from the word of God, where he said, I will give you the abundant life. I will give you life everlasting. You know, I'm not just looking for a place called heaven. I'm looking to have a little heaven here on earth. Someone got mad at me because they felt like I was negating the song, I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. It's not that, but you know what? We've got enough people flying away. We need a few to stay here and get the job done. We've had a lot of good people fly away, and we need some of those good people to stay and get the job done. But if we truly want the abundant life, then words are important. Words set the stage that you will act upon. You're going to act upon them. It's all about what I want. If I want more, I'm going to have to deal with this thing, the statements made in my life and what I listen to, as Jeremiah did. So words have the power to shape my mindset. Words can create a sense of failure, actually, success or failure, but it can create a sense of failure before you even start the endeavor. Before you ever get started on your journey, you've already failed because your mind has said you failed. Has anybody ever done that before? You ever go into a test, I'm going to fail that test. I just know I'm going to fail that test. Well, what happens? Fail that test. Because you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in what you've done, the workup you've done before that moment in time. But how does this happen? Negative words can weaken your spirit. Whether you believe it or not, negative words can weaken your spirit. Why? How? It plants the seeds of doubt and unbelief, and when they start to grow, it chokes you out. It chokes you out. And then once your spirit is, remember I said you're more spirit than flesh. Once your spirit is discouraged, the battle is often lost before it ever starts. Because your spirit is discouraged. Nothing's worse than breaking someone's spirit. I mean, you break their spirit, they're happy, and you break their spirit. I've seen it happen before. Everybody's so happy, and then somebody in the family, I saw it happen one time. Everybody was happy for Christmas, and this man, and he was such a grouch, and he just destroyed everything in that room by his comments, and I watched everybody from happy to get sad and dejected. And one of the people said, can't we just be happy? This is what we celebrate, Jesus' birthday. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn you over my knee and I'm going to spank you. What is it? Just negated everything that happened in that room that day. There was no joy, no happiness. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be ready to go home. I don't need that kind of happiness. I just don't need it. I want to be happy. How many people want to be happy? I found out there's only one way for true happiness. And that key is essential in that you have to understand that the Lord really wants you to be happy. And your happiness is contingent upon your relationship with Him. Let me give you a key. I'm not going to go much longer. Here's a key. You can never achieve what you are unable to believe. If you don't believe it, you're never going to achieve it. Your beliefs, what you believe sets the boundaries of your possibilities. What you believe sets the possibilities for the boundaries of your possibilities. You do that. A life without limits remains just a concept unless it's empowered by a firm foundation, a foundation of unwavering faith. A firm foundation. Why faith? Because faith is what gives it substance. Faith is what gives it substance. Substance to the words and to the vision that you have. It aligns your heart with God. What does it mean it aligns it with God? It aligns it with God and His purpose for you and your life. It lines it up. It's through faith that you find the strength in all this to move forward into your destiny. It'll help you break barriers. It'll help you go beyond yourself and do those things you thought not possible. It'll help you to step into the limitless potential God has already prepared for you. God has prepared something, according to Jeremiah. Do you think God loved Jeremiah more than you? No. Matter of fact, it was after Jeremiah that Jesus came and gave his life for you. Amen? Let me make this statement before I close. God's plan for you, say me, God's plan for you are bigger than your doubts, greater than your fears, and more beautiful than your imagination. Amen? That's the God I serve.